It is November 14th, on Monday at 3:24 p.m., and we are in room 400 of the Daily Center with Judge Patricia Mendoza for a follow-up interview. Judge Mendoza, first I want to apologize for the questions. They might be slightly disjointed just because it's a follow-up to the first interview that we had. But on the first interview, you mentioned you spent your summers in Mexico growing up here in Chicago. Can you tell us where in Mexico you spent your summers and about that experience a little bit? The first interview, you talked about how you sort of traversed the worlds of Mexico and America in your home with your parents who were first generation. So could you talk a little bit about that experience in Mexico and if you felt it strengthened your connection with your ethnic background?
Oh, well, definitely, because as I think I mentioned in my first interview, I actually always felt like an immigrant or like an outsider, like I didn't really belong here. And I think that was, you know, my mom's strong emphasis on being Mexican and then, you know, spending my summers out there. You know, I sort of felt a greater connection to the values that, you know, the Mexican family or my Mexican family embraced than what, you know, were generally the values that were embraced here in the States. You know, the idea of, like, leaving home when you're 18, it's just not done, you know, in the Mexican culture. And so that was one thing, or just sort of different dating, you know, dating outside dating someone who wasn't Mexican, those kinds of things. But you asked where. It's a very little town in Mexico called Santa Ana Maya, Michoacán. It's funny because I was talking to my husband about it because my son wants to go back. Because I've managed to suck him in to the same things that I want. He's very proud of his culture, and he wants to spend the summer out there. And I'm telling my husband, no, he doesn't. It's going to be so boring. I said, maybe 2 weeks, but he'll be bored in 3 weeks, because I know, you know, there isn't a whole lot to do. I used to joke that it was you'd go and you'd sit in front and watch the cows go by, because it's a very small town. And now, of course, it's a little bit more developed, but there wasn't, like, a movie theater that you could go to. There weren't, you know, places that you would think young people would go to, like discos or restaurants, nothing. It was just a very small town, so it was basically just hanging out at my grandmother's house, watching the cows go by.
Did your grandmother have a lot of traditions that you learned by spending the summers with her?
You know, my grandmother was a very tough woman, and she wasn't very warm and fuzzy, so I actually don't have any, I mean, I was out there, but I don't have any, like, fond memories, or maybe that sounds negative, I don't have any real memories of any real relationship with her. It was weird, because I'd spend, like, the summers out there with her, but she was just this authority figure. There wasn't any interaction, any discussion, any kind of, you know, talk, but in Mexico, or there, all the family sort of interacts. And so while I was there, I learned all the traditional things that a young Mexican girl would learn, like needlepoint, crocheting, knitting, and watched a lot of Mexican soap operas. That was about.
Now, did your mother, was that your mother's mother?
Yeah.
Okay. And was it sort of, did your parents sort of want you to go there specifically to learn traditions and to kind of have that background? Is that...
Not exactly. Yes and no. It was bigger than that. I mean, the real reason that I started being sent out there, as I recall, was because we moved from 55th and, you know, Garfield area to the Back of the Yards area when I was in 7th grade. And I was always, like, a good student. This was kind of a tough neighborhood, not as tough as it is now, but a tough neighborhood. And so the girls who didn't really value school or value doing well in school really resented the fact that I kind of parachuted in and all of a sudden, you know, I was doing really well and I was teacher's pet or whatever you would call it, you know, in their eyes. And so I started getting harassed. So, you know, there was what my mother came upon me one day when I was ready to be clobbered. It was the only time in my teenage life that I was grateful to see my mother show up. Because somebody must have run and told her, but she shut up right as I was about to get beat up by like a group of girls. And so it was, that sort of was what made her think to send me away.
And what were the issues with the girls that...
Just that, you know, I was, education is not uncommon in lower income neighborhoods, is not valued, you know, it's being cool and street smart and, you know, there were already girl gangs at that point, and I believe these girls were in a gang, and, you know, I certainly wasn't, and, you know, I loved school, and you know, I was involved in the church. I mean, I was sort of like the biggest nerd, so I think they just... You know, I was an easy target.
Mm-hmm. Did she have any, like, support network or anything as other than your mother, as far as other friends or strategies that...
Not really. I mean, I had other nerdy friends. I mean, there were three of us who hung out who didn't really fit in that group, but they weren't picked on, but they'd been in the neighborhood all their lives, and they all had older siblings. Mm-hmm. I didn't, so they had, you know, older siblings who would kind of look out for them, brothers... You know, who kind of, I think it's was sort of like this understanding that they were to be left alone, and I didn't have that kind of protection.
We didn't talk about where you went to high school, I don't think.
Okay, I went to Maria High School. Okay. It's on 67th in California.